So unreached means that there's little to no gospel presence there. Now, this can vary from place to place across the world, but it could be that there's very few, if any, believers. There might be no scripture in their local language, in their mother tongue. It also means that there's a need for the gospel to be spread with the help from outsiders. Outsiders meaning people like us from America going there, or outsiders outside of their people group, maybe within the country or a neighboring country. But think about that. 7,000 people groups, or I can say it this way, that's 3 billion people that don't have a way to hear about Jesus. So this is why my family and I do what we do. God has placed us in Tanzania to work among unreached people groups and to share the gospel. But you might be thinking, how do you live and work among an unreached people group? There are many things that come to mind, a lot really, but I'll save you from that 2+ hour service and only focus on one. So that one thing is relationships. We build relationships with the people that we're trying to share Christ with. So to put it in a better perspective, we're going to focus on a car salesman. If there's any car salesman here, I apologize. Don't take it the wrong way. So a lot of people don't really care for car salesmen, but it comes to a point where they have to go buy a new car. So they get prepared, they go to the dealership to buy a new car, and they've already kind of put a barrier up. They're on guard, they think the salesman might be out to get them, they think they're going to end up with a lemon car or something like that. And the salesman can't really do too much to change this person's mind. They're, you know, because they have that barrier up. But the salesman has to work on a relationship. He has to find some common ground or be able to relate to the buyer. And so he begins talking with him, and as time passes, the buyer might relax a little bit and he'll listen to what the salesman's saying. And then maybe, just maybe, he'll be able to sell a car. And I'm sure there's other examples in your own life that you can think of where building relationships is important. So you see, it's similar working with Muslims. I don't know if I mentioned that. In Tanzania, where we live and work, it's a predominantly Muslim people group that's considered unreached. So anyway, that's the same as working with Muslims, but not just Muslims, but all lost people. As soon as you mention Jesus or the Bible, most people will throw a barrier up. But with relationships, it builds trust. And when someone trusts you, they're more likely to listen to you and what you're saying. And so if you turn with me to Matthew 9, we're going to jump around a little bit. So if you can't keep up, I apologize. You can write the verses down. So we see Jesus doing this, building relationships in Matthew 9. Starting in verse 10, it says, "And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' But when he heard it, he said, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners.'" So here we see Jesus, he's relaxing at the table. He's being just like the others. They were probably having a meal, a good barbecue or something, who knows. But he was building relationships. And we see this at other times throughout the New Testament as well, that Jesus was with others that he was ministering to, building relationships, such as when they were fishing, a job that was frowned upon, similar to tax collecting, or hanging out with tax collectors. Then we also see Paul spending time building relationships with people as well. And in Acts 18, it says that Paul stayed a year and a half ministering to the people at Corinth. And so he's building relationships, ministering to those people. And there's other times as well. And so then in 1 Corinthians 9, I'll read some verses there. 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 19, Paul says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." So here we see Paul mention several different types of people, if you want to call it that. He mentions the Jews, the ones under the law or outside of the law, the weak. And he mentions all of these. And he says he became like them. And he uses a word to win them. He's meaning win them to Christ. But he did all this not for his own sake, not for him to be able to relate to everybody. But he says in verse 23, he did it for the sake of the gospel. He wanted to share Christ with them and people to come to know Christ. So this, and then what we do, and then Paul, and you see all through the New Testament, all of this is rooted in love. It's a love for God first and foremost, and then a love for others. A love for the lost to come to repentance and have faith in Jesus. So we'll flip back to Matthew 22. And in Matthew 22, starting in verse 37, we'll start in 36. It says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is a great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So everything we do flows out of love. And when you look at verse 37, he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." So that means that everything you do, think, and feel, you should love God. And it's because of our love for God that we surrender to him. We want to glorify God because that is why he created us in the first place. And so out of love comes obedience. If you love someone, you're going to be obedient to them. And so obedience then comes to the Great Commission, which is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So this is where obedience comes in, is being obedient to what Jesus has commanded. And these verses talk about what Jesus has commanded for all believers. And so from obedience and love, then we come to Romans 10. And I'll end with this passage. Romans 10, starting in verse 13. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.'" So these verses aren't just for me and my family. This is God's call for all believers to be sent, to go and to preach, make disciples, baptize, things like that. So what is God showing you today? How can you be a part of reaching the 3 billion people that don't have access to the gospel? Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for truth that we can follow, that we have examples, that we can just learn and grow from your word. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We do pray that you would just send out more workers across the world. And would you just help us to have a good rest of the day. Thank you for this time to share. And as we share even more, Lord, just thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen. We are faith-based, if you want to call it that, so we raise our own support. We live 100% off of support from individuals and churches like this. And we'll go to the next slide and let Courtney share.
So as Bobby said, we lived in Condoa for the past 2.5 years, and we were on a team called TEMO, Training and Ministry Outreach. During our time there, we did a curriculum. It was based mainly on the foundation of language learning, simple living, and relationship building. And that was to prepare us for a lifetime of ministry, wherever that may be. And so what we did, we immersed ourselves in the language and culture. We learned their language. We came in with zero Kiswahili and no prior learning of the culture. So what we did a lot of our days, for especially the first year, we just sat outside. We couldn't communicate with them, but we just sat and listened and talked. Well, not really talked, but just kind of listened to them. The reason why we did that is kind of what Bobby was saying about relationships is we wanted them to see us bringing ourselves down to just allow them to teach us, because in that community, many times is their view of white people is just us bringing things to them. And so we wanted to let them know that we're here so that they can bring things to us. And so we learned from them, and we wanted them to mainly just see that we were set apart, not because of our skin color, but because we were sharing Christ's love with them. I'm sorry, you can't really see very well, but to the bottom left, that was our team. And there is about, there was two other families and two single girls that was there with us. And you can see just a few pictures. We really just lived among them. We cooked like them. We did things. We did Bible studies outside eventually. And Bobby took some men, I think it was three Muslim and one Christian man, to a farming training. And he saw fruit out of that. And I had a Bible study with my Tanzanian teammate, and we did that. That was about a year in, and we did that with five Muslim ladies. You can go to the next slide. So that kind of goes into this slide, the fruit that we were able to see from our efforts. These first three, Bobby worked with them. And the first one, his name is Yahya. There was an ag shop in town. So Bobby, there was some English speaking men in town that were more educated, and somehow they all found Bobby. So it was a little harder for him with language learning because of that, because they all wanted to practice their English. But he sat at this shop and formed a relationship with several of the men there. And Yahya and him did a Bible study that was about a 6-week long Bible study from creation to Christ. And he came to his understanding of the need for a savior. And then these two other young men, Moses and Aaliyah, they got saved about a week within each other. And they suffered a lot more persecution. Their families both threatened to kill them. They made them go leave their household. Both of their parents told them that you're no longer my son because I don't have a Christian son. And so we sent them to the South Coast, where kind of where we're going to be. And there's a man down there who discipled them, and they were in a much more better environment to learn. And now the middle one, Moses, he's kind of fell back into sin and not really sure where he is. But Aaliyah, he is off to Bible school now. So the three below, Mama Sarah, Mama Hytham, and Sumaya. Mama Sarah and Mama Hytham, those were two that came out of the Bible study that I led in my house. And Mama Sarah, she just knew right away, even before we finished, she was like, okay, there's no need to wait. I know what I need to do. So she accepted Christ. Mama Hytham, she just blossomed tremendously. She was an outcast in the neighborhood, and she just was just such a fear-filled body, and was so timid and scared. But once she accepted Christ, before she even almost lost her son because of her involvement with me, and she accepted Christ, and those bondage chains were broken. Her son was healed, and she just really blossomed into such an individual in the community that people knew she was a Christian. She was one of the ones that got baptized on the video. And Sumaya, our whole family influenced her and poured into her. The girls would read Bible stories with her, and we would show her little Swahili Jesus films. She would come into the house and help me cook and clean, and she knew something was different about us, and she wanted that, and she wanted that difference because she had a much different home life. It was very hostile. And so she has accepted. She still hides her faith from her family because she's a child. She's about 12 years old, but she lives in the village, and she told me that when she went to the village and to her school, she came back and told three people in her school about Jesus. So she's getting there, and she's using that strength from him.
So I don't know if you can read that. I'll read it, though. So we're back here in the States until about February of this following year, and then we're going to return back to Tanzania. And so we call this home assignment, although our home is kind of in both places. Anyway, so we're here for rest and spiritual refreshment, and we're also here to share in person like this right here of what God is doing in Tanzania. And we're also here to invite others to join with us and partner with the ministry there in Tanzania, whether that's financially or prayerfully, but then also to advocate for us, to get others in contact with us that are interested in missions, that have a heart for the gospel being shared in Tanzania. And so then, like I said, we'll return in about February of next year. So as part of, like Courtney mentioned, we were on TEMO, and as part of the curriculum, they wanted us to take 1 month and go visit a different ministry location, different context, things like that, to see what ministry could look like outside of how we were doing ministry. So we had the chance to go to the Middle East, and we went to the Middle East in June of 22 and spent a month there, and really thought that's where we would end up going. And we had a passion for reaching Muslims, and then we got an offer to go visit a team on the South Coast. And so in March of this year, we went to the South Coast and visited Kilwa Masoko, which is where we will be going. That's the town name. And realized that that's where God was calling us, that there was everything that we needed in ministry there. And so that's where we're headed back to, is Kilwa Masoko. The ministry will be similar there on the coast, although we will not have the curriculum that we were doing. We'll still be building relationships, reaching out to our neighbors, things like that. Courtney will be homeschooling this time around. We had a homeschool teacher that helped so Courtney could learn language and minister more, but this time she'll be homeschooling more, but she's still going to be reaching out to the neighborhood and women and things there close by. And then I will still be doing agriculture, but to a bigger, different, it's to a different aspect a little bit. There's a unity of churches there that work together to reach the unreached people there, so working with those local pastors and evangelists, things like that, and then trying to reach the Muslims just using agriculture. It's a program called Farming God's Way that is out of South Africa. And then there's a video, I think. Yeah, so here's a video we will show y'all. It's about Kilwa Masoko and the history there and kind of the need for the gospel there.
As the sun slowly rises, the quiet blue waves roll upon the shore, the salty wind rustling through the branches of the coconut palms. The town is still asleep on this calm morning as dawn just peaks over the horizon. Heat begins to build up as the sun warms the sandy beaches and paths. The fishermen ready their boats, and another day has begun on Tanzania's beautiful south coast. Though the sun shines bright, it does not penetrate the darkness that shrouds this area. The town of Kilwa Masoko has a population of 15,000 people, where 95% or so are Muslim. The history here holds deep and strong. Kilwa Masoko was founded in the 10th century and made into a large commercial center for trading of goods and slaves by the Arabs, but with the diminishing of the Omani Empire influence, the town has also faded into the background of importance. Islam found its way into this area through Muslim Arab traders who came by the sea. But due to natural land barriers, Kilwa Masoko and the surrounding area was cut off from other influences until bridges were built in 2004. With easier access to the south coast, Christians began moving in. Since then, there has been slow but steady growth of churches planted and people receiving the gospel. But the darkness is still heavy and the need is still great. In the late 1990s, several church denominations began formally working together to better strategize how to spread the gospel effectively to all the many coastal villages and pockets of people. This began the Unity of Churches. The Unity's goal is to reach out and begin churches in the remaining 50 villages of Kilwa District that have yet to have any Christian presence. As these churches strive to meet the many needs and opportunities that face them in reaching the South Coast with the gospel, missionaries look and learn from them and partner with them in this great call.
So as you can see, there's a heavy Muslim population there. We've heard varying facts. This video states that the bridges were built across the river in 2004. We've heard it could be up to 2008. So within 20 years or so, the ministry, the gospel's been there. Ever since before then, there was not really anything because of this bridge, this river barrier. And then he said 50 villages that are unreached. We've also heard that's up to 70 unreached villages. It's hard to tell when you get into a village like that, and they're so spread out and so hard to reach sometimes physically. So anyway, there's a big need for the gospel to be spread there. There's still a large population of Muslims and unreached people groups. Interesting fact, Kilwa Masoko is a town that we're going to be in. Masoko is Swahili for markets, and that came from that was the headquarters or the markets for the slave trade back in the 10th century with the Arab slave traders.
So as Bobby mentioned earlier, we're 100% sent by people, individuals, and by churches. This is kind of a visual. We're raising two separate funds. One fund, a monthly ongoing support, and two, a vehicle fund. Because of our curriculum and our training team from last time, we weren't able to get a vehicle. But this time we're going to try to get one because of our family size and because medical will be about 5 hours away. So we're raising a vehicle for that. This is kind of where you can see in the middle how many individuals, that kind of what amounts that we need to get us to where we need to be by January. And also we recognize that this is sacrificial giving, and we are really blessed to see how the Lord encourages us by using people. And we just know that by doing that sacrificial giving, we're together drawing closer and more near to preparing for Christ to come back.
So we're telling everybody, pray, give, and go. So if you would pray for us as a family as we prepare to go back. And then also for the people on the South Coast, that their hearts will be ready for when we arrive back. There's already some workers, some of the team is there, but then there's some that are here in the States as well. And we'll all kind of be showing back up about the same time. And then give, we're asking that people partner with us and financially support, whether that's monthly or one time. And then go, we're inviting you to come visit us on the South Coast. So if you're interested in that or even missions, then you can see us in the back later. There's our contact info. I don't know if you can see it. If not, there's stuff back there. We have a little table set up back there with some prayer cards on there. You can take that, pray for us. Our contact info is on there. There's also a sign-up sheet back there. We send out newsletters to keep people involved and up to date on what's going on in the ministry. And so you can sign your email up back there, and we can add you to that list. And then there's some other things there with the organization and how to pray for missionaries, and then just some other things about that are from Tanzania just to that you can look at. Is there anything else? Okay, let me pray for us, and then I think there's going to be a baptism. So Father, we thank you for just your work that you're doing across the world and in Tanzania, and we just thank you that we can be a part of that, Lord, and thank you for being able to come here and share. Thank you for this church and their support and their invitation to come and share, Lord, and would you just bless them, and in Christ's name, amen.